Hello, America. It's your new favourite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two forts of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.
My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So whether you're a parks professional or a Florida first timer, this is the podcast for you. Each episode, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans to share memories of their magical times, answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting you all the latest news from the parks, and finding out what's happening right now in Orlando. So get your ears on as we take you to the most magical place on earth. This is the most magical podcast on earth as part of the Secret Recordings Network with a brand new episode. We're going to take you East Coast and West Coast on this episode. So everything you need to know about Walt Disney World as normal, but also I have a trip report coming your way from my Adventures by Disney trip to California. I have been backstage at Disneyland, Walt's original park. I have been backstage at Imagineering, and I have been to the Walt Disney Studios in Burbank, where I also saw Bob Iger. I've got a lot to tell you on this episode of the podcast. As always, you can follow along on the socials at PodMagical. There's a lot of pictures to share this week, so I'll be dripping those pretty much every day. And also, if you want to get in touch with any questions about Disney World or any of the Disney parks. Now, I had this question while I was away the other week, and I can't remember who asked it. I think it was Sophia, so forgive me if I'm wrong, but I scrolled back and I couldn't find who asked it. But they were asking about discount Disney gift cards. Yet you hear a lot of people, if you're watching American vlogs or you follow American influencers or anything like that, they're always talking about getting discounted Disney gift cards from like Target or Sam's Club, where you can buy them 5% off. So you can buy like a $100 gift card for $90. And then you can use that to pay for anything, be it food or merchandise or DVC annual dues or cruise trips or anything like that. Can you get them in the UK is what Sophia was asking. Is there any way around it? Do you know what? I've really looked at this and you can't. A lot of times to get the discount, even in Target, you need to be like a Target Red member. And to be that, you have to live in America. So I haven't found any way around it. If you have found any way of purchasing discounted Disney gift cards, I mean legit ones. I don't want to be spending money on something that might be a little bit dodgy. If you're buying it from Target, you know you're going to be fine. So legit Disney gift cards, if you found them, let me know. At PodMagical is where we are. And right now, I'm going to take you on a trip from Disney World to Disneyland. We're going to California. So if you were listening to this podcast last year, you'll know that I visited every single Disney park around the world, all six castle parks and the other parks that go with some of them. One of them was Walt's original park in Disneyland. I was supposed to visit in the January last year to do an exclusive backstage tour with Adventures by Disney, not just going to Disneyland Park, but also visiting Imagineering and the Walt Disney Studios and following Walt's footsteps around Hollywood. Well, that didn't happen in January because, sadly, of the wildfires that were sweeping around Los Angeles. I did manage to go to Disneyland, but I didn't do the big tour that I was hoping to do. Well, I have now done that tour. I am just back and I have got so much to tell you. Let me first of all tell you about Adventures by Disney. Now, Adventures by Disney are a fully escorted travel company run by Disney, and they can take you anywhere in the world, be it Egypt or Greece or China or Japan or indeed California. Now, the trip that I did with them, you can only do with them. If you want to do a tour of Imagineering, well, you can't unless you go with Adventures by Disney. If you want to go to the Walt Disney Studios in Burbank in California, well, you can't unless you go with Adventures by Disney. Some D23 members can go and do a slightly amended tour. But in terms of studio tours like Universal Studios in Hollywood or Warner Brothers Studios, they don't run a studio tour. It's a working studio and they don't have tours. They do invite big Disney fans because they know they will be respectful and really appreciate it, which is why I really wanted to do this. Because firstly, yes, I love to go to the parks and I'd love to go backstage at Disneyland, but to go to Imagineering, to go to the studios, that's why I booked this tour, and you can only do it with Adventures by Disney. And they really do look after you. From the moment you get off the plane, they organise a car to pick you up. And then from that second, as soon as you get in that car, you are held. Literally, they hold your hand. The hotels, the theme park tickets, the tours, the transfers, the food. Everything is sorted out. There's an itinerary for you. You've got two incredible tour guides. Big shout out to Danny and Dean, who were looking after us. Dean had been working, well, they both had been working at Disney. Dean had been working at Disneyland. He'd done tours there. They'd been working there for years. Danny was also a performer at Disneyland. He was the genie in Aladdin and the show they used to have there. So these two guys really knew their worth, and they really added that Disney magic. Now, this tour, if you think you're just going to go on a tour and it's going to be like a VIP tour of Disneyland where you get to ride all the attractions and jump the queues for everything, forget that. That's not what this is about. This is a real in-depth backstage tour of, well, the Disney company, really, from its birth. And that is what I got from this tour. I really felt that I got a connection to Walt and how everything started. This massive worldwide, well, the world's biggest entertainment company now, that's got theme parks and cruise ships and travel companies and Disney Plus and the movie studios and animation and ESPN, who do sports. There is so much to do with the company, but it really was started by these two brothers, Walt and Roy, over 100 years ago. And it's great that this tour actually starts way back. Now, it was a 6-day tour, 5 nights, 6 days. A couple of days I actually landed in Orlando. So I did a couple of days in the parks over there at Walt Disney World to use up a few DVC. I was actually there during a Run Disney event. Here's a little bonus top tip, because the Saturday night I went to see Happily Ever After. Now, usually when there's a Run Disney event on at Walt Disney World in Orlando, it's usually busy, and it was busy. But these marathons, these runs start so early in the morning, at like 4 or 5 in the morning. So most of the people who were doing the running, by the time it got to the fireworks, they were all in bed. Magic Kingdom was so quiet for Happily Ever After. So I did that on the Saturday night. Then on the Sunday morning, we got the plane to fly out to Los Angeles, where we started our tour. We were met, as I say, there's a driver waiting for me with my name. He picked me up at LAX, took us to the Loews Hotel in Hollywood. We were there for a couple of nights. Now, I've been to Hollywood before. It's not the nicest place. If you think of Hollywood glamour, well, forget about it. Actually, it was looking a little bit more glamorous than usual because they were getting ready for the Oscars. Now, where the Oscars are in that theatre, it's all part of this huge complex where the hotel that I was staying, where they put you up, is actually part of. And in fact, we were the last people to stay there before the whole place shut down for the Oscars, because they used the entire hotel for green rooms and for preparation. So we really did get a little touch of Hollywood glamour when we landed. So yeah, a couple of nights at the Loews Hotel. The tour started on the Sunday evening, where we got to meet our tour guides and everybody else that was on the tour. It was quite a large group, actually, about 35, 36 people, all adults. You can do an adults only tour of this, and they do it multiple times throughout the year. So we opted for an adult only tour. Everybody was brilliant. I was so lucky to be with every single person. Was just so, well, firstly, respectful for everybody else, because everybody was on time for everything. And everybody has this passion and massive love of Disney. We had former cast members on there. There was a guy who used to work in Disney World, used to drive the monorail. There was a lady who used to work in Tokyo, Disneyland there. She worked there for 25 years and had just retired. So she was on the trip with her daughter. People from Canada, people from Nashville, all around America, all around the world, because we're just massive Disney fans. So everybody really wanted to get this touch of Disney. So we all met on the first night, on the Sunday night, and we had dinner and we kind of introduced to how the tour would go on. And we were told multiple times, like, some days you've got to be up early. But it was all right. I had jet lag. I was awake at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning anyway. So the first official day on the Monday morning. It really was a step back into the birth of the Disney company. Being in Hollywood, that's where Walt and Roy went from his old town in Marceline to follow his dreams. He packed up his dreams and he moved to Hollywood. It was the start of the whole Hollywood era over 100 years ago, and he was there at the start of it. So we had a little walk up and down Hollywood Boulevard. We saw the stars on the floor there. We got to go into the Chinese Theater. We got an exclusive tour of that, which is incredible. I've never been there before. Obviously, we're walking in Walt's footsteps because that was the theater where Mary Poppins had the premiere. So as we walked into that theater, we were reminded, you know, this is where Walt walked with Julie Andrews and Dick Van Dyke way back for the premiere. Many other film premieres happened in that. So we got a tour of that. We got to have a look at the handprints on the floor there, famously. And also across the road, Disney own another. They don't own the Chinese theatre, but they do own the cinema across the road, the El Capitan that they bought a few years ago. So there's been Star Wars premieres there. So we got to have a look around that as well. We got to look backstage. We got to see the Mickey lift. Now, there are three Mickey lifts around the world, one of which is in that theatre. You think, what is a Mickey lift and where are the other two? The other two are at Fantasmic in Hollywood Studios in Florida, and also one at Fantasmic in Disneyland in Anaheim. So that is the Mickey lift. When Mickey appears out the floor, there's a special Mickey lift. I think if they need an engineer, I think he's got to come over, or she has got to come over from Germany to look at that. So we got to go backstage. We got to see the walls that were signed by people who'd been to premieres there. So just an incredible insight into real old school Hollywood glamour and the start of the Disney company. We then jumped into our vehicle, our coach, which we were heading towards Walt Barn, which I'll tell you about in a moment. But on our way there, we actually went past the original building that Walt and Roy bought, the Disney brothers bought when they very first got to Hollywood. So that very first animation building where everything, those original cartoons were actually made and created. Now, I think it was like a tattoo parlor. We couldn't stop there. There was nothing to see if we went in anyway. But I'd seen it on pictures. You'd see pictures of Walt and Roy outside. So that was the building where it all started. And then we went over to Walt's barn. Now, when Walt and his family first moved and first start to do all right for themselves in California, they obviously bought a very nice property. Unfortunately, that property isn't there anymore. It was sold, and I think whoever bought it, they demolished the house and just rebuilt on the land. However, Walt's barn was saved by a group of volunteers and moved to another location in California. Now, Walt's barn, think of it as his man shed. So Walt and Lillian had this lovely, glamorous Hollywood-style home, but out in the back garden where Roy had his train sets and everything like that, he was doing his tinkering in there. And that is where we went to have a little bit look around. They'd saved a lot of things from it as well. A mirror where we used to have a shave, and there's like an old school telephone, and there's a little train set and his toolkit. Basically, it was his man shed. And really, it was the birthplace of Imagineering. This is where Walt started to come up with his ideas and play around with his train sets. And it was just an incredible kind of like setback to go, yeah, this was just a guy who had a dream, and this is where everything started. It really was a connection back to the man who started this company, and this is what this day was about. So after we visited Walt's barn, we then went for lunch at a pub called the Tam O'Shanter, which you might have heard of. The Tam O'Shanter was a pub that was, again, he's over 100 years old, and it was not far from the Disney studios. Now, back in the day when they built the first Disney studios, there was nowhere to eat. So Walt and the Imagineers used to go to the Tam O'Shanter, used to get his beef chili. And we actually were shown the table where they used to sit. In fact, there's a little plaque on it, and there's a few little pictures around. And what they've done, it's not the actual table where he used to sit, because it's, you know, many, many years old. That table's gone and probably been replaced a few times. But they have recreated it by putting some etchings in that look like where he used to sit, and they used to like draw on napkins. And then the print of that had gone through. So you kind of really got the idea. We had a great meal in there. And also, we were told that if you look at the outside of the building, because it's the Tam O'Shanter, it was a Scottish-themed pub. And you could see like why Walt appreciated it, because of the theme.
theming. You could see, go, oh, he's getting ideas of like how you really can get immersed into being somewhere else. The outside of the building was actually inspiration for the cottage from Snow White and the Seven Dwarves. And when you look at it, you go, and I'll put pictures on socials. There will be a lot of pictures on socials, by the way. You go, oh, yeah. I can see that. So we had lunch there, and then we jumped back into our vehicle. We went over to the Oscars Museum, the Museum for the Academy Awards. Saw some other Oscars in there. Saw the Ruby Slippers, the actual Ruby Slippers from The Wizard of Oz. There were some more modern movie artifacts and memorabilia in there as well. We had the costumes from the recent Wicked films. There's set pieces from the Barbie films and from the more recent Beauty and the Beast. There was a Jaws exhibition that was going on. So about four floors of real movie nostalgia dedicated to the Oscars and the Academy Awards. And as I say, it was just about to happen. So there was that pre-Oscars buzz that was going around before we went back to our hotel for the evening. We had the evening to ourselves. I did actually go down to the Grove and we got a driverless car. You might have heard about the driverless cars in Los Angeles. Got a driverless car. It was like an Uber, but with no driver. It was like being driven around by the Invisible Man. And people said, did you feel safe being driven around like in a car for 20 minutes with no driver? Yeah, incredibly. In fact, I know worse drivers than that. So that was just our very first day one, a real glimpse into old school Hollywood and to the birth of what became this massive Disney company and walking in the footsteps of Walt. Day two. Well, this is an exciting day. This was the one we were looking forward to. Well, I particularly was looking forward to because this was the day I got to visit the Walt Disney Studios in Burbank and also Imagineering. Now, you, as I mentioned earlier, you can't go there. You can't book a ticket and do a tour of the Disney Studios. So it really was an exclusive tour. We were there for like a good half a day. We even had lunch in the commissary. Is that what it's called? Basically, it's where the staff eat. It's the staff canteen. You could eat indoors. You could eat outdoors. I got my food. They've got a Dole Whip machine in there, by the way. I could eat what I wanted. So I made myself a Dole Whip. I actually got to use the Dole Whip machine. I thought, if I'm coming here, I'm having a Dole Whip. I sat outside eating my lunch. And this is the kind of place it is because it's a real working studio. As I was sat outside eating my lunch, guess who walked past me? No, not Mickey. Actual Bob Iger, the guy who is currently, for the next few days, running the Disney company, the Disney legend himself, Bob Iger. Just walked past, chatting to some guy. Obviously, they were talking about work because he was at work. And it was funny because there were people sat at laptops or just on call sat around me. And they were just talking about business. They were just talking about the day-to-day Disney business of what's going on. But in terms of the tour itself, let me go back. We didn't actually go into any of the studios because it's a working studio, but we did walk down the streets of where, if you've seen Saving Mr. Banks, the film about Mary Poppins, a lot of it was filmed on that location. And this building has been there over, I think it's over 70 years since they built it. And it was really built to last. It's got such a beautiful vibe about it. There were topiaries. There's a topiary that was in the shape of Mickey Mouse. We saw the signpost that said, like, Dopey Drive this way and Pluto's Corner. Got to see the Disney Legends Plaza, which is outside the main building. You might have seen the main building. Pictures of it. Again, I'll put all these on socials. This is the one where the Seven Dwarves are holding up the building because it was the Seven Dwarves that started the company. But then outside that is the Legends Plaza where Disney legends get honoured and they put their hands in the prints and it's all over the walls. The Golden Girls are on there. Dick Van Dyke's name is on there and Steven Spielberg and Elton John and Phil Collins. So got to have a look around that and all the statues that were outside in the gardens and just walking down the streets, walking into the buildings, some of the corridors with the original animation building, which is now different offices. We got to have a look around there as well. So as I say, we didn't actually get to go into any of the sound studios, the sound stages, but just walking around, you feel the history. And it's the same entrance that they have always had. The same entrance where Walt used to drive in to start his day's work. That was the entrance we went to. And we walked down the corridors and we walked outside the streets past the benches where he used to sit. In fact, some of the benches outside were the benches that were used on the Titanic movie, because obviously Disney owned that now. So they just reused those benches. So I sat outside. I don't know which one, whether it was one that Leo sat on, but yeah, they reused those there. We got to go into the archives where they store a lot of things, got to hold an Oscar. Got to hold an actual Oscar, one of many that was won by Walt. I think he won more Oscars than anybody else so far. So got to hold an Oscar. That was incredible. Got to go into the shop. Yes, there's a shop, a staff shop that sells exclusive things just for Disney Studios. So, yeah, I spent a little bit too much there, not realising that there was going to be another shop visit later that day, because we got to go to the Imagineering building as well, where there's another shop, Mickey's of Glendale. So it was a bit of an expensive day. So, yeah, all in all, we had about 3 hours learning about the history of the company and just talking through the buildings and why they were there and what used to happen. And we went past a building, which is where they do voiceovers. So if you think that Idina Menzel sang Let It Go in that building and Robin Williams voiced Genie from Aladdin in that building, this is the Disney history that I got to walk around. So real, for a true Disney fan, this was a once in a lifetime real bucket list experience. And then after that, as I say, we had lunch, we sat outside and I saw Bob Iger and went around the shops and spent too much back in the car, because just down the road was another building that we got to look around, the Imagineering building. Now this is the building where everything, as a theme park fan, this is where the magic happens. Now, I always thought Imagineering was just one building that was part of the studios complex. It's not. It's a number of massive buildings just a little bit further down the road where so much goes on. Now, I was expecting to maybe have a little bit of a look behind the curtain and, well, they weren't going to tell me anything, were they? I was thinking, oh, maybe we'll go into this and I'll speak to an Imagineer and they'll go, yeah, we're just working on this Monsters, Inc. attraction here for Hollywood Studios and this is what it's going to look like. No, didn't get any of that. I did get a little insight, by the way, into the Cars attraction that's coming to the Magic Kingdom soon, but that little bit of information was picked up from somewhere else later on the trip, which I'll tell you about later. But yeah, the Imagineering building, an incredible building. We did have a talk by an Imagineer. We got to look at what had happened, what is coming soon, nothing too insightful. Just a general overlay of what Imagineering did and how Imagineering started. Got to speak to one of the creators of Nighttime Experiences and Live Entertainment. It was showing us how things like Happily Ever After is made and kind of like the systems that they use for that. And like, gone are the days where they have to sit outside in Florida heat to create fireworks or imagery. They can actually do it now from, well, they can do it remotely from anywhere. He was also saying he's just finished a project on something that's coming to Hong Kong Disney, something new. He didn't say any more about that, but he said he was very excited about it. So we got to see how all those nighttime experiences and character interactions and parades work. Got to go into Sound Studio, where they create music for the parks, whether it's just the music you hear in the background or whether it's music for rides. It sounded so good, by the way. They had like 84 speakers around, so we got to hear how that sounded. Again, we had some more archives, went to have a look at some of the models that they'd used over the years for various things. So a little bit of a look around the Imagineering, and then we got to go into Mickey's of Glendale. Yes, another shop that had so many exclusive things. There was an entire section just on the Muppet Show. Oh, by the way, I did go past the Muppet Studios offices, so and that door was open. So I very much slowed down to peek around the corner there. And I did think I saw a few bits and bobs about the Rock and Roller Coaster with the Muppets, but nothing that I could really, really give away, just like they were working on something. But yeah, so I got a few things from Mickey's of Glendale. I got a T-shirt now says I'm an Imagineer on it, even though I'm not, but that's what they can go. Although there was another section there where you had to actually be an Imagineer to buy certain things, but yeah, exclusive things that you can only buy in Mickey's of Glendale. So I had a little bit of a look around there before we got into the coach to spend a few hours in LA traffic before we headed over to Disneyland for the second part of our tour. So we'd already done a tour of Hollywood and the beginnings of the Disney company. We walked in Walt's footsteps. We had a look around the studios. We had a look around Imagineering. But then it was time to go to Walt's original park, Disneyland, where we very much went behind the scenes. And I'll tell you about that in a moment.
More from my trip report from Disneyland in just a moment. After a few dates from Walt Disney World, first of all, we know that Buzz Lightyear's Space Ranger Spin has got a date to open. That will be the 8th of April. Disney Junior Mickey Mouse Clubhouse Live has been announced for an opening date of May the 26th. Soarin' Across America for the 250th anniversary of the States, that will open on May the 26th. The Walt Disney Studios Courtyard will also open on that date as well, May the 26th, along with the debut of Bluey and his mates over at Animal Kingdom. Bluey's Wild World at Conservation Station will also open on May the 26th. A load of dates for things that will be opening just in time for spring and summer at Walt Disney World. There's also been a lot of goings on all over the world, from Singapore with the launch of the brand new cruise ship, the Adventure, and of course Paris in a matter of days. Adventure World is going to be opening in Disneyland Paris. We have got some news though. It's the 100th anniversary of Winnie the Pooh this year. You'll see a lot of merchandise popping up, including a brand new popcorn bucket. It's a really cute Easter Winnie the Pooh popcorn bucket with Piglet. That is on sale now at Walt Disney World. We've also got news of a new boss. Now, we know that Josh D'Amaro is going to be stepping into Bob Iger's shoes as the big, big boss of the entire Disney company. So who's stepping in to Josh's shoes, looking after parks and cruise ships and things like that? The new chairman, Disney Experiences, I think the title is, Disney Experiences chairman, is going to be Thomas Maslam, who's come over from Disneyland. He's going to be replacing Josh D'Amaro. Cute news, cute animal news. There's a rare Ancole cattle calf born at Disney World. This is the first time in over 20 years. The calf and mother currently bonding before joining the Animal Kingdom Lodge Savannah. So cute news coming over about new little birth over at Walt Disney World. And other than that, a couple of things are happening over the next few weeks. In a couple of days' time, it's St. Patrick's Day. So look out for St. Patrick's Day merchandise and big stuff happening at Raglan Road. And then, of course, Easter is a couple of days away as well. There is a tradition at Walt Disney World, and I've been once around the Easter time and I've seen this, where cast members decorate various Easter eggs and they go on display in different resorts around the parks. If you go to the contemporary one, the cast members there have decorated their Easter eggs like the Muppets. Have a look. If I can share some pictures on socials, I know Disney Food Blogger shared it, but it's really good. If you're going to Disney over the next couple of weeks around before or after Easter, then have a look around the resorts and have a look at some of the Easter egg displays. Of course, any more news between now and the next podcast, at Pod Magical is where we are. So the second part of my Californian adventure took me to Disneyland, Walt's original park in Anaheim, California. So after being in the studios and Imagineering and being in Hollywood and seeing where it all started, we got to go to celebrate the 70th anniversary of Disneyland. Now, it started on the evening where we got to go into Walt's apartment. You know that Walt's got a little apartment, or had a little apartment over the fire station. There's a lamp in the window that never goes out, because as long as that lamp is shining, Walt's presence will be felt in the park. Now, last year, when I did cobble together a bit of a last minute trip to Disneyland, I actually got to go on a VIP tour of that apartment. So if you're just going to Disneyland, you can inquire about doing a VIP tour, walking in Walt's footsteps, that takes you into that apartment. But this was part of the tour. So I had been there before. I had my photograph taken in there. So a lot of what I was told, I knew. Our tour guide, Dean, had been, still is, a VIP tour guide at Disneyland. So he was telling us some of the stories about some of the celebrities that have been up to there, including Celine Dion, who did a full-on photo shoot in Walt's apartment. That was a great story. We got to go into there. And then because we had a four-day ticket for the park, that was included, even though there was only a couple of hours left of day one by the time we got there, after being going for dinner and LA traffic and being in the studios and Imagineering. But we did have a couple of fast passes, so we managed to have a look into Walt's apartment. And then I got to jump on the Guardians of the Galaxy Tower of the Terror, and also to the Cars attraction over in Cars Land at Californian Adventure, an attraction where we then, the following day, got to go behind the scenes of. So it was pretty much just an hour or two in the parks on the first night, because it was so late by the time that we got there. But the following day was a nice early start. As always, the tour started in the lobby of the hotel. The Grand Californian, by the way, is where we got to stay. Yes, quite a pricey hotel, but a lot of things that we had. I'd love to actually sit down and have a look at
if I paid for everything that I had on that tour individually, how much it would cost, because we would definitely be quids in by doing this tour. I mean, the tour wasn't cheap, but in terms of what you get, I mean, there's a number of things there that money can't buy. So it really was that cheap. I mean, there's other things like, you know, when we went to Hollywood for the day, there was a Ghirardelli's across the road and went, oh, does anybody want anything? Have an ice cream. So I had an ice cream. It was like $25 just for an ice cream. So little things like that. And, you know, the transportation here, there and everywhere and food. So it all really does add up. But yeah, getting to stay at the Grand Californian Hotel was another little bucket list tick, because I've got DVC. And part of that resort is a DVC resort, but you can never get in. So we got to stay there, and it does have a private entrance into Californian Adventure. So we met in the lobby, and then we were straight through security, straight into the back of Californian Adventure, where we went straight into Soarin', because that was the first attraction that was there. And we got in line for it because we were going to ride it, and then it broke down. So we walked off the attraction. They gave us a fast pass to go on it again, to ride it again later the day, another lightning lane. And as soon as we'd done that, they found out that the attraction was up and running again. So we got back out of the queue and went straight back in the line. We did Soarin', the Soarin' Over California, which I think is the best one because it's got that orange grove smell. That's the best. And then after doing that, we got to go backstage to see how the attraction works. We got to smell the little canisters when they blast the smells out into the auditorium on the attraction. It's actually a huge canister and they last about a year. So we got to smell all the different ones of those. And one of the operators, one of the main guys there, I was saying, have you seen, because you know there's going to be a new Soarin' in a couple of months' time to celebrate the 250th anniversary of America. I said, have you seen it yet? He says, well, they've actually been testing some of the scenes on the attraction. So he says, yes, I have. I've seen them all. And it's incredible. He said, the opening scene will blow you away. So we've got that to look forward to. So a little bit of a backstage look at the Soarin'. And then because we got the fast pass, we could go on it again if we wanted, or any other attraction. So that was a little bit of a bonus. But we didn't have time to do that because we went straight from Soarin' straight into Cars Land, which is one of the most incredibly themed areas of any Disney park. You walk straight into Radiator Springs. There's a few attractions in there, including the big Cars attraction, which is the same ride system as Test Track in Epcot, but very, very different because it's completely Cars themed. So you're going through the mountains, you're going through caves. There's all the Cars animatronics. It really is next level. But we got to go backstage to see how that attraction works. And I think this is the part of the trip that really did blow me away. Having seen Bob Iger in the studios, that was quite a surprise. But getting to go backstage. Now, I knew that this was going to happen, but for some reason in my mind, I thought, oh, we're going to be going like underneath the tracks just to see what it looks like. We didn't do that at all. We went round the back. Now, around the back of the attraction, and I'm assuming this is the same for Test Track as well, is just the biggest garage I think you have ever seen in your life. Think about when you take your car to Quick Fit or Halfords. Think how big that is, and then multiply that by about 100. That's how big it is. So in this warehouse or this garage, you kind of see where the track comes in and goes out. So they can, you know, if a car breaks down, they can take it off the track. But bear in mind, because it's on a linked track, they've got to shut the attraction down. They've got to get every other car out of the way before they can take out the problematic one to come and fix it and sort it out. So that was really incredible how they do that. Also, the number of tyres that they go through. Because I thought that this attraction was just powered by the track. It's actually not. It's powered by the engine. So these cars have got their own engines. It's the engine that drives it round the track. The track just kind of like guides and tells it where to go. We also found out that the main reason for any attraction going down, and please let this be a lesson, the main reason for most attractions when they go down is because of something that a guest has done. It'll be somebody who's visiting, they've gone on the attraction either dropping their phone, because then they've got to stop everything to get the phone back, or losing a hat. So don't like take your phone and try and take selfies, because if you drop it, yes, you'll probably lose your phone. You probably put the attraction down for a couple of hours. Same goes with a hat, same goes with water. This is one of the main things. If you get water on that track, they've got to shut the whole thing down. So the main reason for most attractions to go down, it's not because of things not being fixed or not being kept properly, it's because of something that a guest has done, which made me wonder why. It feels sometimes that attractions seem to go down more than ever. Is that because people are trying to use their phones more than ever, or drinking water, or just not knowing how to behave on an attraction, maybe. So yeah, behave yourself. If you're told to fasten your seatbelt, take your cap off, put your sunglasses in the little basket in the front, that is the reason for it. So yeah, we got to have a look at that attraction. They were telling us as well about, there's some like 50 odd people that work as mechanics just on that one car's attraction. 50 something people, and a lot of them will be working overnight. So when the park closes, when the last guest has got off the attraction, the team come in, they'll look at all the cars, they'll test the cars, they'll walk around the track to make sure the track is working. So they're literally working overnight to make sure everything is safe and ready and working for the following day. And then every so many laps, and it's like 30,000 laps or something, the car will have to come off for a bigger maintenance, and then each tire has to be changed every 3 months. There's so much detail. It really makes you appreciate, you know, how expensive it is to go into these parks. But then when you look at this and you go, well, you've got 50 people working just on this one attraction. I can kind of see now why it is more expensive. It's not just like going to the fun fair and you go on a ride. These really are detailed attractions. These really are next level immersive attractions. We also asked as well, anybody any questions? So obviously, I was going to ask, but somebody else beat me to it. The new Cars attraction at Magic Kingdom in Walt Disney World, is it going to be like this? He didn't actually know. He says, well, I've heard rumours that it won't be like this. It won't be like Test Track. It may be a similar track, but it's going to be a bit slower. So it's not going to be a white knuckle Cars ride in Magic Kingdom. It's going to be a little bit more kid friendly, but even more immersive. So it's going to feel like you're in a car and you're off-roading. So you're not speeding. It's not like a speed track. It's not like Formula One. But you'll be in the cars and there'll be animatronics and the land will be fully immersive. But it's not going to be a fast ride. And I'm good with that. I'm good with that. As long as I am blown away by what I'm seeing, I am good with that. So after going backstage at the Cars ride, we then got to walk straight to the front. Yes, we were those people. We were those people it wasn't even a fast pass, even though we were given a fast pass for it. I'll save that for later. We just walked straight onto the attraction and we got to ride the attraction, which was great after just seeing how it operates. I was kind of looking behind me to see where the emergency exit is, where they take the cars off the track and put them back on. So we got to see that. Then we had another ice cream. Anybody want ice cream? Yeah, okay, we'll have an ice cream. And then we had the rest of the day to ourselves over at California Adventure. I think they gave us some like 5 fast passes to use for that day. Plus the one for Soarin' and the one for Cars. The Soarin' one I could use on any because it was a replacement for the attraction going down, even though we got back on it. So I used that one. I think it was like the Guardians of the Galaxy, which I've decided I didn't like as much as the original Tower of Terror in Florida. I think that is the best one. It's because it's similar to the one in Paris that you just get in, it goes straight up and down. And it does seem faster and it does seem taller, but it's the queue. You know, once you got into the pre-show, and then you suddenly there's another queue. And because the attraction has to let people on and then off before it can load again, it just felt like it took a little bit longer. And I didn't recognise as many of the songs this time. It wasn't like Cosmic Rewind where I know the 6 songs that are going to come. I went on about 3 times. Didn't recognise any of the songs. I don't know whether they're original songs or they've changed them. But I went on that one. Incredicoaster I went on, which is another great outdoor roller coaster over there. A lot of the attractions they've got are quite similar to other parks around the world. The Little Mermaid, which is a bit of a walk-on. It was the Food and Wine Festival had just started in California. So I had a few little bites to eat around there as well. So, yeah, the rest of the afternoon was over at California Adventure. I don't actually think I managed to use all my fast passes that day because we were so many. So it was either we used the fast passes or it was just a walk on anyway. Because then I went back over to Disneyland to ride a couple of attractions there, because then that night they gave us a special reserved area to watch Paint the Night, the nighttime parade, which I've heard so much about. It's been on in California. It used to be over in California Adventure before they moved it over to Disneyland for the 70th. It's been on for years. And I've never happened to be there when it's been on. I think it was over in Hong Kong for a while. I think they took it over there and then they brought it back. So I finally got to see Paint the Night, and it is incredible. And when you think of what we've got in Magic Kingdom, Walt Disney World in Orlando, that nighttime parade, Starlight, it's great. But when you see what they've got, well, I saw the one in Tokyo as well, and you see what they've got over in California, it's just much bigger and better. And the dancers in between have got better costumes on, and the floats just like are bigger and there's more of them. So Paint the Night really is a proper nighttime parade. Some of the parade, the Cars one is incredible. There's like this huge juggernaut that comes through. So yeah, got to see Paint the Night. I think the park was open for like another hour or two, but after a day, had to call it a night because the following morning we had to be up at 6:15 to meet everybody once again in the lobby, where we went over to Disneyland where we could get to go in the park before anybody else. I think the park officially opened at 8 a.m. So we were in there just before 7 o'clock. So we had the park to ourselves for an entire hour. Got to walk down Main Street, got to have a picture in front of the castle with nobody else around. And then we had a little walk around and some of the attractions started to open. So they said, oh, come on the attractions. So we got to go on Snow White. We got to go on Peter Pan and we got to go on Pinocchio. All this before the park actually opened. And then at 8 o'clock, the hordes were let in and they were all looking at us going, who are these people? Why have they gone past? Why are they on these attractions when they've not brought the rope down yet? Well, we were special. We were those people. Then got to go for breakfast. It was a character breakfast in the parks. And then after that, yes, the fun hadn't stopped because there was more backstage adventures. We got to go backstage at the brand new, well, not the brand new, the old, the original Indiana Jones attraction. I was thinking brand new because that's the one that's coming to Animal Kingdom. And I hope the one at Animal Kingdom is as good as the one they've got in Disneyland in California because it's such a great ride. Yes, it is exactly the same as Dinosaur. They were telling us, yeah, it's exactly the same track layout, they're exactly the same vehicles that they use. In fact, when they were starting Dinosaur, they used to use the Indiana Jones track to test some of the cars. So it's literally exactly the same. So that overlay, I don't think, should be too complex. So once again, they told us how the attraction works. We looked at the cars. They really do jerk around because we got to see the car off the attraction. If you know you've been on Dinosaur and you really feel like it throws you around, when you see how the car moves, when you're standing on the side and you see how far up it goes at the back. In fact, we've got to have a go on the controls as well. We've got to maneuver it ourselves to make it go up and down and side to side. It really does throw you around. So you're on the track moving and then the car itself goes up and down. And right in the middle is the best place to sit, by the way, if you don't want too much movement. And yeah, so good to see that. Once again, we were told that the attraction comes down. It's mostly because of somebody, a guest, who's spilt water, especially on that attraction. Any drop of water on that track really does ruin it for everyone. So yeah, just behave yourselves on those attractions. We got to see behind the scenes of that. And then again, we walked straight to the front. We got to do the attraction. And then we got to spend the rest of the day in the park. Again, we were given more lightning lanes. Then in the evening, we got to have dinner over at Lamplight Lounge. All this was included, by the way, a couple of cocktails over there before we had a reserve spot to see World of Colour at California Adventure, which is this incredible water display. Think of the Bellagio fountains over in Las Vegas. It's like that, but with colour. It was a special one again for the 70th. So it was very much based around Inside Out, but there's a great pre-show with the Muppets, and we got to hear the Boys to Men Rainbow Connection that they did there. So yeah, an incredible final evening actually of the tour. It all happened so very, very quick. They say it's a 6-day tour, but the first night you only meet for dinner, and then the following day we got to say our goodbyes as a lot of people were leaving on the Friday. So we had breakfast together at Goofy's Kitchen, another character breakfast, probably the best Disney buffet I think I've ever been to. And that includes Disney World in Florida and it includes Paris as well. The buffet over at Goofy's Kitchen, that they've got like breakfast pizzas and cookies and so many pastries and various eggs and an omelette station and Mickey waffles and mini waffles and characters and a really, really good buffet. If you ever go into California, you want a good breakfast, you want to really load up and you want to meet some characters, that will be the one I go for. It's just in the Disneyland Hotel, Goofy's Kitchen. So we got to meet Goofy and Minnie and Chippendale and Pluto were in there. We got to say goodbye. Some people were literally having breakfast and then leaving at 9 o'clock. But you still got a ticket for the day, which was the Friday. So we spent most of the Friday trying to max everything that we hadn't done. We still had some more lightning lanes to use. We were going to wait for the fireworks. Now, the fireworks at Disneyland only happen at weekends. I think they have to get permission from the locals or the council to have fireworks. And obviously, if it's windy, they can't have it. It was an incredibly windy few days in California. So the fireworks were actually cancelled that night. So didn't get to see the fireworks. Even though I was there for 4 nights, we didn't have any fireworks. I have seen fireworks at Disneyland many, many years ago. Are they worth waiting for? Well, yeah, I do love a Disney firework, but don't think it's going to be like Happily Ever After. It's not a small castle. It's petite, and the fireworks kind of go with it. But World of Colour on the previous night, I think that was the big spectacular. And we got to watch Paint the Night again as well, the nighttime parade through the parks. And then Fantasmic was on. Again, that's only on at weekends. I'm not a fan of Fantasmic over at Disneyland. The show is great, but unlike Hollywood Studios, it's not a big amphitheatre. They actually do it on Tom Sawyer Island. So you've got to get there early and you can sit on the floor or just stand around. So I'm not a fan of the layout, but you know, the park isn't that big. It wasn't built 70 years ago to accommodate millions of millions of people. But it really was a special visit. We got to spend the Friday in the parks. We really maxed it out. And then Saturday was the day to come home. Didn't have a ticket for the park. So just wanted something to do. So went to Knott's Berry Farm. Wish I hadn't really, because it's just not Disney. I mean, I met Snoopy and I got to do a couple of the old wooden roller coasters there, but it really, it's a lot cheaper than Disney. But there's a reason for that. But just to max out my day, because I didn't fly home until 10 o'clock on the night on Saturday. But it was a real bucket list adventure. It wasn't cheap. It was my third attempt at doing this trip. I'd previously booked it years ago, and then it got cancelled for the pandemic. Obviously, last year's cancelled for the fire. So third time lucky, and it was worth waiting for. As I say, two great tour guides who really did encompass the spirit of Disney. All the guests, everybody there loved Disney. So everybody was just excited to be there, and everybody was on time for everything. When you've got a big group, you know, if people are late, then things just get delayed. And you've got to appreciate that when you're doing these tours, when you're going backstage in an attraction and there's a guy there telling you how it works, that's his time. If you know, if you're at work and somebody says, oh, can you speak to these people for like 15, 20 minutes about what you do? And you go, do I really have to? Well, this is what these people were doing. But I think they've got so much love for it as well. In fact, we had an extra guide who was like with security that was with us on the Disneyland morning. I was chatting to her and she'd worked there for like 15 years. And we were just stood there and people were having the photographs taken before the park officially opened. And she went, I just love being here. I just get to work here. Just look at that. Just imagine that. Imagine being the first person in any Disney park before the guests are there. I mean, if you've been there early or if you've been there late and it's just nice and quiet, just being there and going, I work here. And Walt built this. It all started here 70 years ago. And even before that, when the film started, and it was so good to walk those steps and really feel that connection, kind of taking a step back to the massive company that Disney is now, just to remember the man who started it all. And if you love your Disney history or you're a bit of a geek and you want to peek behind the curtain, have a look at Adventures by Disney. It's not cheap. Have a look at that 6-day tour and I don't know, maybe you could do it. And maybe I'll do it again myself, not immediately, but maybe in years to come, I go, do you know what? Things have changed over at Disneyland and Imagineering in the studio. I want to do it again. Or I want to go shopping again at those exclusive shops that you can't go to. And who knows who we'll see next time. You just never know. Took so many pictures from this trip. I'll put them all on the socials. I'm kind of going to drip feed them day by day. So keep checking Instagram and Facebook every day because I'll put a new batch of pictures on from the various things that I did. But have a look at that. At Pod Magical is where we are. And I enjoyed my time. Finally, my adventure by Disney in California. And heading back from Disneyland to Disney World now, if you're going to be going over the next few weeks, maybe if you've got a bit of an Easter break coming up. Firstly, a warning, spring break is almost upon us. In fact, I think a lot of people have started heading to Walt Disney World in Florida for spring break. If you don't know what spring break is, it's like a big holiday in America. If you think of the summer holidays in the UK, the school summer holidays, it's not as big in America. Spring break in the build-up to Easter is, and those spring break crowds are going to make it very busy from now up to just after Easter. Meanwhile, if you are going, you've got the Flower and Garden Festival at Epcot, including live music this weekend or this coming few days. Billy Ocean is going to be on at Epcot, part of your regular ticket, along with members of ELO over the next few days. Universal have got their Mardi Gras on with the parade, throwing the beads. They've got live music this weekend, BB Rexha and Zedd this coming Sunday. And then next weekend, the Saturday's Bare Naked Ladies, and then the Sunday, All American Rejects. That's over at Universal. Again, that is just included in your regular park ticket. It's not like an after hours or anything like that. Meanwhile, pound to the dollar. Well, that's all over the place. Yeah, let's not talk about that. Around 1.34 at the moment. Weather-wise, we're getting into that kind of stormy season now in Florida as humidity starts to pick up. Temperatures in the high 20s, so you can expect thunder showers in the afternoon. But yeah, mostly pretty nice. And finally, we like to end the episode on a top tip. My top tip for this episode is all about rope dropping. And have one day of your holiday, especially if you're going for 2 weeks, maybe do it in the weekend, maybe a Saturday morning. Rope drop the pool. Yes, rope drop the pool. Because everybody gets up really early and they'll either go for breakfast or they'll head to the park and it's all really chaotic. And then sometimes people will go back for the pool later on in the afternoon to have a bit of chill time and stuff like that. But have you ever been to a resort pool early morning? I'm talking like just after breakfast, before everybody else goes. There's none of that reserving chairs with towels. There's none of that happens at Walt Disney World. But it's just a couple of hours to chill. So have a lazy morning by the pool. And when everybody else comes back to spend some time by the pool in the afternoon, you can head to the park or, you know, go for food or something like that. So think about rope dropping the pool. There's my tip for this episode. I hope you've enjoyed it. As I say, there's a lot of pictures for me to share with you from my adventures by Disney, from Disneyland and Imagineering. Well, one or two pictures from Imagineering. We're not allowed to take pictures in Imagineering, but from the studios and around Hollywood. So if you want to see them, I'm going to drip feed them across the week over on the socials, mostly on Instagram, but all the socials at PodMagical. Just follow all of them and you can find me on there. And if you've got any questions or you want to be a guest, do drop me a message. I know there's a lot of people are going to be going to Paris for the opening of Adventure World. So if you're going to that and you want to come and talk about that, please do. Meanwhile, subscribe to the podcast, which means when it's out, brand new episodes every other week, it'll just land in Apple Podcasts or Spotify rather than you looking for it or going, is there a new one? Just hit that subscribe button. If you can give us 5 stars as well, as I always say, I really do appreciate that. And until next time, please stand clear of the doors.
Hello, America. It's your new favourite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two forts of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.